It's been a big year. When it comes to the music legends, we've lost a lot of those, but it's been, on a positive note, it's been a strange year and a big year for a lot in sport too. Mick Miller, elite sports coach from Sydney. Good morning, mate.
Good morning, Ian. How are you doing over there?
Very well, mate. Very, very well indeed. Listen, mate, just as a person that's really, you know, in touch with this particular aspect of our society, sport, what are some of your sporting highlights for the last 12 months in 2016?
Look, I know, look, you know, the show only goes for a couple of hours over there. I could talk for hours and days about this. But look, how about I just rattle off a couple of quick ones here for you. Look, it was definitely a year of upsets in the sporting arena. You know, the Irish beat the All Blacks. The Chicago Cubs came back and won the baseball. Leicester City won the Premier League soccer against the odds of 5,001.
Yes.
That was amazing.
It was amazing.
You know, and then if you look across Australia, we had great performances in the NRL with the Sharks winning their first grand final, the Bulldogs finally winning an AFL grand final.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
Adelaide United winning the soccer. You know, Kim Brennan winning the gold medal in the women's single in the Rio Olympics. Daniel Ricciardo winning the Malaysian Grand Prix. Daniel Fitzgibbons and Lethal Tech winning the gold medal in the Paralympics. Just to mention a few, but, you know, look, you know, there was some other really great, pure Australian sporting moments, which I think we might have slightly overlooked. I just wanted to share these with you today.
Yeah, sure, mate.
Hey, look, you know, at Woolloy, they've got the Australian Goanna Pulling Championship. You know, like, not for the faint-hearted. I'll give you the tip there.
Oh, mate, you don't want to get caught pulling a Goanna.
No, especially backwards. And then, look, once you finish that event, they've got the Tuna Tossing Championships in Tanarama.
Yeah.
Where they've basically got a 10-kilo fish, and they've got the rope through the gills. Luckily, it's dead. And they swirl it around like a short put, and they send it as far as they possibly can to get the most the biggest distance out of there. True Australian. We're talking real Australian sport here.
We certainly
look,
are.
You know, to all the fellows that are married, you know, they could probably relate to this one a little bit. The Australian Wife Carrying Championships at Singleton. I mean, it's not if the blokes aren't carrying the wives now and again and getting hackled to go cut the grass. And this is the real, pure Australian event, I reckon.
I reckon it is a real Australian event, too. I tell you another Australian event, Mick, is guys running around Christmas Eve doing their Christmas shopping. Have you done all yours yet?
You know, look, this year is slightly different. I've looked around, and everyone on my shopping list has definitely got enough. They've got more than enough what they need. So I'm going to the Wayside Chapel in Sydney. And I'm bringing a couple of big boxes of underwear to help everybody.
Well, I tell you what, though, the Wayside Chapel, I mean, underwear for, you know, the homeless, that is a really important thing. I mean, you know, we laugh at getting jocks and socks for Christmas, but I tell you what, they would be so happy to get that. It's not funny.
Look, especially if I hand deliver it, they'll be more than happy. I'll give you the tip. So, look, you know, if we can continue giving out free underwear for Christmas, and if we can continue just participating on any sport, it doesn't matter how old you are, how you look, male, female, big, tall, short, or whatever, if we can just keep participating in whatever sport in Australia, I'm sure it'll put the foundations in for some great results for 2017.
Your Money with Nick Bruning from the West Australian. Go on, take the money and run.
And a very good morning, Nick Bruning. That's the last week of Christmas shopping for us all, mate.
Six sleeps to go. I revert back to an 8-year-old at this time of year. Get all a bit excited. Put the Christmas list and all the rest of it together. And I thought we'd have a quick chat about what happens if you end up with a pair of size 3 undies and you actually take a 5'7" or something.
Right. I'm much bigger than a size 7.
Too much information. Anyway, look, one of the things we're looking at is what happens with refunds and exchanges. And I guess everyone understands that certainly with some stores, they have a really, shall we say, customer-focused policy where you can stump up and swap items over if they're not quite what you're after, or wrong size, all those sorts of reasons. But interestingly enough, the law's quite specific about what your legal obligations or what a store's legal obligations are. And really, it's only if an item is faulty or somehow not as per the sample that you might have seen to buy it. The issue comes up these days, Ian, more with stuff that's bought online, because certainly local retailers, we can walk into the store, but if you buy something over the internet, then you're looking at a whole range of different sets of rules. One of them is where we buy via mail order and the freight's included. Now, if the item's purchased here in Australia, then they're caught up under the Australian Consumer Law, which generally means that the cost of freight, if they're excessive, will be borne by the seller. So if it's delivered to your door, then you're certainly entitled to contact the seller if there's a fault, and ask that they arrange somehow to have that item returned to the seller, and they'll pick up the cost of freight. So under those circumstances, certainly do a bit of research. And I guess the point here is that if you're buying from an overseas supplier, none of those obligations stand. So it'll be very much up to the supplier from overseas whether they have a returns policy and whether or not that freight's picked up.
I tell you what, mate, in my experience, buying size 5 undies and getting size 7 or vice versa, clothing, when you're buying it online from overseas, that is a very slippery slope.
Well, depends on what sort of clothing you're buying from overseas, Ian, and that might be a whole topic for another day. The other thing is also packaging. A lot of people might think that unless I keep the packaging in pristine condition, well, that's certainly the case if there's an exchange policy. You've got to make sure that the retailer can resell the item. But again, if it's faulty or somehow not as per the sample, then while you try to keep the packaging, there's no legal requirement that says you have to provide all that back. And similarly, receipts and stuff. It's a good idea to keep those receipts, of course, but if the item's faulty or not as per the sample, you simply need to provide proof of purchase, which might actually be the credit card statement or some other form of document that shows that the transaction's occurred.
Excellent. Some great advice there, mate. You enjoy the rest of the Christmas
you
shopping.
Too, and I'll talk to you next year, right?
Yes, we'll catch up next year
right
here.
Happy New Year, Blackers!
Time for Out of Bounds with Dan Leach from the Workday. Very good morning, mate.
Toot, toot, hello. Very good morning to you, Blackers. Now, look, the test match between Australia and Pakistan.
Yes.
We should have been done and dusted, like, sort of late Saturday afternoon. It should have been just, you know, have a nice relaxing Sunday, don't worry about the cricket. But Pakistan have actually woken up, which is nice to see. They've given a bit of fight. A brilliant performance yesterday for the Pakistan side, but Asad Shafiq scoring 100, he's 100 not out at stumps yesterday. They are a very slim chance of maybe taking this test match. They are going to have to score 108 runs when it starts up again at 10:30 this morning, but the Aussies have 2 wickets left to get. They should get home from here, but a bit of a scare for the Australians. Now, a bit of talk surrounding Nick Maddison, because he once again unfortunately failed with the bat in both his innings in this test match. Some talk that maybe Sean Marsh is going to come back into the Australian side. The performance manager for the Australian side, Pat Howard, yesterday saying that Sean Marsh will be coming back through the Big Bash League for the Scorchers later this week. Of course, the Big Bash kicks off tomorrow night, but he'll come through the Big Bash League. It's unlikely he will play the Boxing Day test, but he has left the door open for maybe coming back for the Sydney test match, so keep an eye out for that.
Now, while we're on cricket, Zsa Gabor has done a Don Bradman. She's got to 99.
Really?
And she's passed away, yeah.
Done a Shane Warne at the Wacker a few years ago. Well, I don't think she was necessarily going for a 6 to get the 100, but anyway.
No.
But look, nothing much else going on in sport, but there are a couple of other things that I just want to quickly touch on. Perth Glory, rubbish on Saturday night. They lost 4-1 to the Sydney FC. They've only picked up 1 point in 4 games. There's some big things that really need to happen there at the Glory. But here's the story of the weekend. We're going to the English Premier League. West Ham United, they've won their second game in a week. They're off the bottom of the EPL table. It wasn't the most inspiring game against Hull City on Saturday. But the fans get to vote for man of the match through Twitter and social media. They didn't vote for the goal scorer, Mark Noble. They didn't vote for their key defender in Chico Kuyate. No, 57% of the fan vote went for the crossbar that stopped Hull from scoring. So we're talking about an inanimate carbon rod in The Simpsons. That was the last sort of object that was given such plaudits. And now a crossbar is given the tick of approval.
Oh, dear.
Damn, all hail the carbon inanimate rod.
That's right.